For Music Notes with Gord Johnson sitting in for Rick this week. Gord?
It's night number one of Genesis at the Gardens tonight. Last night they played Montreal, and Gord James got on the phone to Neil Kushner to find out how it went.
Well, if you think you've seen them before, do yourself a favor and go and see this show. It's a completely different show. It's a completely different version of the Genesis that we've sort of come to expect. They're concentrating mostly on material from the latter part of their career, from 78 on. Not too heavy on the old material, a couple of songs. And I think the thing that people are talking about here is the amazing light show. It has to be seen to be believed. It's the nicest show I've seen, bar none, of any rock concert.
What we've heard is that they are extensively using the very light, and that's all we heard, and I guess it looks real good. Maybe we shouldn't, I shouldn't ask you to spoil
it. Oh, I don't want to give away too many surprises, but they are performing under an entire ceiling of very lights. There are very lights ringing the stage. There are very lights set into the floor, and they just have taken complete advantage of the technology that's available. It's a breathtaking light show. I know that that word is used a lot, but this is the case that it applies to.
What about some of the tunes? You mentioned they don't do early stuff. The last time they were through, last two times they were through, they did that medley that is on Three Sides Live, the In the Cage, and ending up with Afterglow. Any of that stuff?
Well, Phil warned us earlier on that they're going to be playing a lot of the new material, which got polite response, and then he said they'll be playing a couple of the old songs, which got fanatic response. They open up with the first of the older songs they do, would be the Squonk, and then they go into Carpet Crawlers later on in the show, and a couple other old tunes. But a lot of material from the new album, That's All, Mama, Illegal Alien, Home by the Sea, Second Home by the Sea, It's Going to Get Better. And as I said, some material from And Then There Were Three in the Abacab album. But polite response to the new material. Mama is a killer song live, and that got very, very good response. But it seems that the favorites are still the old material, the old progressive mid-70s Genesis.
Neil Kushner in Montreal with some impressions of last night's Genesis concert in Montreal. Tonight's show here in Toronto begins at 8 o'clock. You'd be wise to be on time. There is no opening act. The show will last almost 2.5 hours. We'll have Ingrid Schumacher on hand sending back live reports before and after. There are still some tickets on sale at the Gardens box office, priced at $14 and $15. Also tickets available for tomorrow's show. Billy Idol.
Gord, tonight we welcome the return of one of this city's favorite bands, Genesis. The first of two nights, in fact. Now, off the top, the ticket situation is this. Scant is the word, so, I mean, I wouldn't bother driving down if I was in Barrie or anything, but there are a few left if you're in the area here and you want to drop by the Gardens box office and pick them up. I've just been in there listening to the sound check, which sounded mighty fine to these ears. The stage is fairly busy looking right now. There's a lot of stuff all over the place. I don't know if a lot of that's going to stay there for the show, obviously, with the sound check and everything else. They'll be moving a lot of that stuff away. Two drum kits that I saw up there so far. No PA or anything. That has all been suspended, you'll be glad to know, high above. And also poised and waiting is that amazing lighting array. Photographer Phil Kamen, who's on this Genesis tour, says that this light system is the absolute most. 10 times what they had with them last time they were here. It's a massive system, computer-operated, that follow-spot idea, which is so very popular these days. Genesis have been on the road for just over 2 weeks now, having just begun on the 7th of November, so all the bugs have long since been ironed out, we're assured, and we're promised a slick 2.5-hour show tonight. Musically, we'll be hearing most, if not all, of the brand new LP. The band are very fond of this latest effort, and so the songs are most important to them right now, which is easy to understand. The past won't be forgotten either, though. I mean, we won't be expecting anything from the debut LP or anything, but we will be hearing some assorted older numbers. No opening act tonight or tomorrow night, so we're all set to go in about 10 or 15 minutes from right now. Later on tonight, WEA, WEA Records, Genesis Record Company, will be awarding the band with a gold LP for the latest LP, and well-deserved, too. Not only, obviously, because of the sales, but just because year after year they just keep churning out the good music for us all, and more importantly, coming by Toronto to play it for us. I'll be talking to you after the show tonight. In the meantime, at Maple Leaf Gardens, I'm Ingrid Schumacher for Chemist.
And we've got a lot more Genesis songs coming up in just a second. First, Ingrid Schumacher, who is live down at the Gardens with her concert reports.
Roger, it's hard on the first night to talk about a band that's going to be here for two nights, because I don't want to give all that much away. Now, I know there are those of you listening right now who are looking forward to tomorrow night's gig, so I won't spoil it for you. Genesis is one of the very few bands in the world whose focal point is their drummer, and Phil Collins has long since established himself as the man to watch and listen in this band. A friend who was sitting here beside me tonight said, you know, he looks like he's really at home. And that's the truth. Collins looks comfy and happy and just plain in his element, whether he's behind the drum kit or the microphone, whether he's singing with serious conviction or joking around with the audience. Did a lot of chatting with us, making us feel very welcome as well. He's actually developed into quite a showman, making Genesis a theatrical band in ways once again. Without naming specific tunes, because I don't want to spoil tomorrow night's show for you, the repertoire ranged from early Genesis to new Genesis, the old and new tunes blending together better than I thought they would. So you older Genesis fans who like some of the older stuff are not going to be disappointed, and some of you people who maybe have just latched onto the band in the last couple of years won't be disappointed either. Musically, we're talking five guys on stage tonight here. The core of the band: Collins, guitarist Michael Rutherford, keyboardist Tony Banks, augmented by session bass and guitar player Daryl Stormer, and drummer Chester Thompson, of course. The music, wonderful. The sound, not bad for Maple Leaf Gardens, actually. Lights, yes. These lights must be the most expensive part of the equipment in and around the stage here. They are the latest in light technology and really something to witness as they move around seemingly with a mind of their own. They created lots of atmosphere in here and complemented songs perfectly. They're a computer-operated lighting array complete with follow spots that move every which way. I could tell everybody in this near-capacity audience really appreciated them. The last time I saw Genesis was about 5 years ago. I liked them then, but this show has just blown me away. It was just extraordinary. The crowd of old and new Genesis lovers thought so too, I'm sure. So you're in for a delightful night tomorrow night in Maple Leaf Gardens at the first of two Genesis shows. I'm Ingrid Schumacher for Chum FM.
Garden stand tonight following last night's triumph. The reviews were unanimous in their praise, much of it directed at the elaborate lighting system used. And the lighting was the subject of Gore James' first question when he spoke with Genesis bass player Mike Rutherford this afternoon.
In fact, we always spend a good long time just getting the tour ready. We spent longer this year than normal, and I think it's actually paid off. Normally there's a mad rush between the album and getting on the road. Got to make the videos and squeeze the rehearsal, and we spent longer on the final stage of production, which actually is working out various Varilight, you know, the strong lighting cues. We spent 10 days down in Dallas going over all that, like sitting out the front with a cassette and planning the lighting show and messing around with the songs. And it's a new sound system too that Shoko just put together, different configuration of speakers. And I think it works well. I mean, to be honest, it's interesting actually, because this is a bit of a one-off, I think, because it's the first time that anyone's had a whole lot of Varilights. It's basically a Varilight lighting system, and I think by the next time we come out on the road, we're gonna build some more Varilights, and they'll soon stop to look so special, because there'll be more and more people will have them, and they'll be used more and more extensively, and so I think this is the first time, and probably the only time that you're going to see a very strong, very light show like this, because I think over the next 2 years, they'll become much more than normal lighting.
Now, with the evolution, I suppose, of the band from the days when Peter left, and then there were three, if you don't mind, to what's been happening now, the band, there is a definite move to pop, we'll say. I don't want to label anything. There's still, obviously, you have your own sound. Has that been a concerted effort to take Genesis from the cult following that initially followed the band to open up a whole new audiences and whatnot?
It's
to make the band more accessible.
Yeah, we've never ever really done anything in our lives intentionally, if you know what I mean. We sort of I don't like to suggest that we drift either, but you just kind of. We get into writing a new album, this is when it all happens, and what comes out, and we're not that much in control. We're really not. I mean, it could be, so far I think it's always been good, but the direction it goes in is the only time we ever made a conscious decision, I think, to do something was after Then Number Three. We felt it was getting very, very much individual songs, And we thought, hey, this isn't what a group's about, you know. So on Duke, Abacab, up to now, which is an entirely group album, we've been getting back into group writing together. And in group writing, you're really not in control, because whatever comes, it's all done by jamming and improvising. Mm-hmm. That's how it starts. And what comes out, really.
Mike Rutherford of Genesis talking with Gore James. For tonight's show, there are still some good tickets left, and they're on sale now at the Gardens box office, priced at $14 and $15. Showtime, 8 o'clock, and Deanna Nason will be filing live reports before and after the concert. You can hear the rest of Mike's interview with Gord on In Toronto tomorrow morning at 9.
Two stunning performances by Genesis this week in town. A, perhaps the best they've ever been. Really, really fine shows. Incredible lighting, state-of-the-art sound, hot and tight musicianship, and Phil Collins singing, the best of his career. Two housefuls of people at Maple Leaf Gardens, and even the critics agree that it was perfection and emotion in action. Jamie Vim's Gord James cornered Genesis guitar and bass man Mike Rutherford backstage between shows, and in Gord's mind, too, the shows were
staggering, the whole production. It's the use of the very light and, of course, the sound systems that you've used over the years. What are your comments on the preparation of the tour this year?
In fact, we always spend a good long time just getting the tour ready. We spent longer this year than normal, and I think it's actually paid off. Normally, there's a mad rush between the album and getting on the road. You've got to make the videos and squeeze the rehearsal, and we spent longer on the final stage of production, which actually is working out various very light, you know, the strong lighting cues. We spent 10 days down in Dallas going over all that, like sitting out the front with a cassette and planning the lighting show and messing around with the songs. And it's a new sound system too that Shoko just put together, different configuration of speakers. And I think it works well. I mean, to be honest, it's interesting actually, because this is a bit of a one-off, I think, because it's the first time that anyone's had a lot of very lights. It's basically a very light lighting system. And I think by the next time we come out on the road, we're gonna build some more very lights. And they'll soon stop to look so special, because there'll be more and more people will have them, and they'll be used more and more extensively. And so I think this is the first time, and probably the only time, that you're gonna see a very strong, very light show like this, because I think over the next 2 years, they'll become much more than normal lighting.
Some of your own money was involved in the production of the Very Light, meaning the band?
Yeah, the Very Lights was originally, we were the people who went to Shoko and said, look, it was our idea originally. We said, look, someone's got to build a light that changes color and moves around, and there's been no new lighting things for the last 15 years, whatever it was. And we tried some other firms, and they said, sorry, it can't be done. And we went to Shoko, and they said, well, we'll try. And they did, so we kind of built it together. I mean, they built it, and we backed it, and it's been our sort of project from the word go.
So it's been a unique investment, I guess, by a group into a lighting system, and it's paid off.
Yeah, well, I mean, it hasn't paid off yet, but it was never done as a sort of it was done purely just so we could get something we wanted to look good on stage. It wasn't done as a sort of financial move.
Mm.
And we spent an awful lot, just trying to research and development to find something. But I've always enjoyed it. I've always had sort of weird things on stage, and it looks very different this year, I think.
Mm. The band, there is a definite move to pop, we'll say. I don't want to label anything. There's still, obviously, you have your own sound. Has that been a concerted effort to take Genesis from the cult following that initially followed the band to open up a whole new audiences and whatnot?
It's
to make the band more accessible.
Yeah. We've never ever really done anything in our lives intentionally, if you know what I mean. We sort of, I don't like to suggest that we drift either,
mm-hmm.
but you just kind of, we get into writing a new album, this is when it all happens, and what comes out. And we're not that much in control. We're really not. I mean, it could be, so far I think it's always been good, but the direction it goes in is the only time we ever made a conscious decision, I think, to do something was after Then Number Three. We felt it was getting very, very much individual songs. And we thought, hey, this isn't what a group's about, you know. So on Duke, Abacab, up to now, which is an entirely group album, we've been getting back into group writing together. And in group writing, you're really not in control, because whatever comes, it's all done by jamming and improvising. Mm-hmm. That's how it starts. And what comes out, really. I think, and in a way, I'm not sure I agree. I mean, I know, I think Abacab got very, there was an area that Genesis had done for a long time, which wasn't the slightly more complicated area. It wasn't really on Abacab. which is one of the, Abacast is one of my favorite albums, because it's got some very strong moments, which I feel which have gone back into the new one on songs like Home by the Sea.
Yes. The new album, just why was it just simply entitled Genesis? Because nothing had ever been entitled simply Genesis before?
Well, somewhere in there is the fact that we couldn't think of a good title. We never actually, I was thinking about it, we never actually composed a title. It's normally come from like a line in the song or something that's in the lyrics or working title like Duke or Abacab that seems to fit the album. I mean, you can always think of a title, but none that really seems to add much to the album. And also, it's the first album since Trespass, really, that we've actually all written together as a group album. So that justifies it, too.
Yeah.
A bit slimy, a bit greasy, but it makes you feel better about it.
That's thinking about the Trespass album.
Well, also, in fact, Tony and Phil were quite keen to call it, they wanted to call it Genesis. You know, everyone calls it, like, Foreigner 4 or Peter Gabriel 3. They wanted to call it Genesis 15. I wasn't so hot on that, I wasn't so sure about that.
So you just decided simply Genesis because it fit and it had never been used before. After this tour, then there'll be some time off, I guess.
Yeah, we finish in March, and the rest of the year, we haven't actually worked it out. The rest of the year, at least, we'll be doing stuff on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We won't do any Genesis stuff till next year.
Which leads me to the question about that Phil being so busy and this being played an awful lot up in the press, the fact that he's doing all this stuff. Meanwhile, back in England, you know, where's Michael and what's Tony doing? I mean, obviously you did your solo album and we saw you over there.
I mean, we actually work, I don't work as hard as Phil. I don't know how he just does project after project. I think I work hard until I hear his schedule. Obviously, you hear more about it because his solo career is fantastically successful, so you kind of hear more about it. I kept fairly busy. Tony is too. Tony did a solo album last year and a film score. And next year I'm going to do another album on my own. And also, probably a bit of production. I started off trying to be a songwriter, and that's how Genesis started off, as four songwriters who just couldn't get anyone to do their songs. And I've never had time yet to actually take out 3 or 4 months and get together a whole lot of songs and finish them off and start getting involved in writing for other people, because it's what I do best, I think, and I've just finished about a dozen songs. Well, they're in a fairly early stage, but they're in the stage you can play to people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm starting to, this is before I left England, I left it with the publishers, I'm starting to just send the tapes around to people and just try and get myself going as a writer, because I always wanted that.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of satisfaction, obviously.
Yeah, it's probably the bit I enjoy most, and especially now Genesis needs less material because we wrote the last album from scratch together, and I imagine we'll work more in that way in the future. Mm-hmm. So it means I've got a lot more material I can use elsewhere, which I'm going to try and do.
Flogged and peddled to people and see what if they want to record it. Or
yeah.
Still keep. I'm referring to the book now. You have horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that still a major part of your off-road life?
It is. I don't seem to get... There isn't that much time. I mean, I always do a lot of writing at home. I'm always writing, and I spent a couple of months doing all these songs last year. There wasn't that much time last year. And there isn't... The way I've got things planned this next year, it'll be a fairly busy year again. But at the same time, I do need to switch off sometimes, and I've got a nice family life and friends at home, and I go riding and I play tennis, everyday things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you find that people are on stage, they seem like mega people, but actually you get them off stage and home, especially, where a lot of people don't get a chance to view that. And
I know, I think I've always felt that there's actually two ways to live your life in the rock business. On the road is incredibly unreal situation, isn't it? You can behave like spoiled kids, actually. You can do anything you want, and you're pampered to, and you're looked after. And it's fantastic. It's great. It's great
and
fun.
You do need it. I mean, if
yeah, you know, you do, definitely. And then when you go back off the road, you either go back to what I call normal life, when you've got to do, there's no one rushing around after you, or you try and carry on in that style. And the people that do carry on like that, I think, end up either burning themselves out or losing touch with any kind of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you go back home, it's quite good to sort of switch off for a bit.
What's it like to be on stage, aside from being with a popular band and the rewards and the downfalls that success gives you, but to be on stage, going back to the original feeling of being Michael Rutherford, who started playing bass and wants to write songs, but really enjoys playing with his mates, and especially when you have a show like that. I realize you can't see it, a lot of it, but you still know what the effect is on people.
I know what it looks like. It still gets you. I mean, I wouldn't be out here going around for 3 months if it didn't still do what it always did, which is sort of it's such a gut reaction, and it is decided so much by the audience. I think people always say, you know, you don't change the set that much, which we don't, but it varies incredibly night to night. Firstly, the audience reaction, and secondly, how we play. There are shows when audiences, on the whole, we get to a after a few gigs, we get to the stage when hopefully our playing is never that bad. But we can, in our minds, we can really click in,
mm-hmm.
and play something special, or we can just do a good show. And audiences often don't pick up on it so much. But you need the energy from the audience. That's what makes it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You get on stage sometimes and you feel tired, and it's forgotten the minute you walk on and you hear that cheer. It's sort of...
Yeah.
It's like if you ever you're feeling ill before a show, say you got a cold or you're a bit low. While the show's going, you have no recollection of anything. Like, you know, you didn't feel good. It's just, if you've got a headache, that goes. Everything sort of disappears.
Yeah. I noticed I was obviously tired last night, but I went to the show and sat down and was not tired, period, because of the feeling or the buzz, whatever you want to call it.
There was chaos halfway through when all the kids came to the front.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I quite liked it because you get... The front rows went as sort of up as they normally were last night. But very often, you see, the trouble is that the front rows, they're often people who've queued for a few hours to get tickets. And you get a kind of reverence from the front rows, which inhibits them.
From getting up
and jumping around. And it's difficult to get them up and get them through that stage.
I've noticed that, and I've often interpreted that as, well, I'm in the front row, you know, but actually your point is correct that when you think about it, you know.
You can tell by the way they look at you sometimes that in fact they, and if you think about it, that they've obviously gone through a lot to get those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a kind of, it's a sort of respect that they're giving you, which is great, but it does stop them from getting up and
it doesn't,
cheers, which
it doesn't
like.
Stop the connection.
Yeah, it does.
Between you.
Does a bit. Because you feed off the front row more than anyone. Because they're the ones you see.
Mike Rutherford of Genesis with Gord James. Stay tuned for Smarm Music Notes and a Sony Profile Preview.